Welcome to the June 27th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Freed to Love. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Morning. It's good to see you all here this morning. Good morning and welcome to College Park on this beautiful and warm Sunday morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you all. Good to see the and feel the energy and the enthusiasm in here this morning, the excitement for worship. Just a couple of brief announcements before we enter into a time of worship. Jeff sends his greetings. You may have seen the youth gathering out in the hall. They are leaving for the Outer Banks right now for youth camp this week. Jeff and a big group and some chaperones, so they're excited. And so we hope they have a great week, and let's pray for that to be a great week of fellowship and Bible study and group building for all of our youth. If Jeff were here, he would want me to mention the pew pads, which are located at the end of the pew. And if you will, just take a moment to make a record of your attendance so that we'll know who was here and pass it down to the other end of the pew. That would be great. A reminder, we are having children's celebration this morning. And the children, if you will, head toward Smith Hall during the second hymn. Children's celebration this morning. They'll be in Smith Hall until the end of the service. You'll see printed on the back of your order of worship, actually the inset of your order of worship, the schedule for this week, including Wednesday night will be our third part in the series of the Ten, study of the Ten Commandments in a video-based series, which has been really good. We're going to have a soup and sandwich supper. That's a tongue twister. Soup and salad. Okay.
Salad
sandwich. Okay. Hey, I was, in all fairness, I was reading it straight from here. So ignore what the order of worship says there. It's a salad sandwich supper at 6:30 on Wednesday night. And don't trust me on any of those details, but that's Wednesday night, 6:30, and then we'll have the video series at 7. We'd love to have you for that. A reminder for next week. Next week is our Mountain Outreach Sunday. We're only 1 week away from church going up into the mountains of Kentucky to build a house for Mountain Outreach, as is our tradition. And what we always do on the Sunday of July 4th weekend, when the group leaves for Mountain Outreach, is have one early service, and we're going to do that, and it's going to be at 9 o'clock in here next Sunday. It's been at 8:30, but we're going to do it at 9 o'clock in here next Sunday morning. We'll start in here. We'll move to the courtyard for the commissioning service. So that's next Sunday. A reminder, 9 o'clock. Most classes will be having Sunday school, but there will be no 11 o'clock next week. And if you see somebody who wasn't here today, make sure to remind them of that, too, so they'll be aware of that. The truck is going to be loaded at 9 o'clock on Saturday. So at least we're keeping the times consistent so you can remember this. The truck's going to be loaded here 9 o'clock on Saturday. And also a reminder that if you have not filled out and submitted a release form, to do that this week, because everybody must have a release form on record before we go. You know how those pesky attorneys can be. Otherwise, great update from Mountain Outreach that as of this morning, I have our giving total as $25,387.56. Our goal is $26,000, so it looks like we're right there. A $613 gift would put us over it right now. So that's where we are, so that's great, and a lot to celebrate about Mountain Outreach. Roger.
Thank you for the pulling together and getting our funds together. We're almost ready to go. Don's got a few more items to get, and then we've got a pack of buses. And I think Barbie has a couple of comments.
Just a couple of more things. If you have any children's books, we have children, 3-year-old, 9-year-old, 12-year-old, 16-year-old, so all girls. But children's books, Chancel Brown is making us a bookshelf, so we'd like to put a few books on them. If you have some that you would like to donate, bring those in. If you could bring them by Wednesday, I can get them packed up on Thursday and Friday. It's really, really much easier to load in the house if we have boxes labeled per room, and that needs to be done ahead of time. So anything, if you've signed up for any of the little stuff on the sign-up sheet, you could bring it by Wednesday so we can get them boxed up Thursday and Friday. That would be great. If you're signed up to go and you find that you can't and you need to cancel your hotel room, call the hotel direct. Today, they get the official list of people going, and you own your room unless you cancel it. And please pray. Pray for the team going. Pray for the transportation, the safety, and the family that we will be working with. Remember that, please. Thank you.
Thanks, Barb. We will be in, certainly be in prayer for that this week and next week. Mitch. Mitch is going to come with an update from the facility updates, facility update committee.
Y'all know this is my favorite place to be. It's getting exciting. We're supposed to start the renovations on the preschool hall July 12th. R.P. Murray's going to show up, and we'll start with the construction process. So we got a lot to do and a little time to get it done, and a week in Kentucky to spend between now and the time they start. So it's going to be quite an interesting time to get everything out of there and get everybody relocated. And on that note, the Facility Update Committee was asked by the Long Range Planning Committee to evaluate the present use of our building and determine how to best utilize the space that we have. And also to determine what updates are needed, such as carpet, paint, things like that. Over the past weeks, we've been working very closely with the Sunday School Council to determine the best use of our facility. And during this process, we found the most pressing need was to provide classroom spaces that would accommodate more people. That's a great problem to have. And it was decided that we would build two classrooms in the area under the music suite, the old chapel over here, to give us a couple more spaces for classes. And this area will also be used as the temporary classroom area as each floor of the education building is renovated. There'll also be more areas renovated, classrooms and assembly areas and things like that as we go through this process, and that doesn't mean that everything will be done by the time we complete the education building. Hopefully, the funds will start rolling in, and we'll have the funds to start the next one when the first one's complete. And just keep that in mind, that this is going to be a time when everybody's going to have challenges to overcome, you know, classes that might be having to join together and things like that to make it all work. The Facility Update Committee would like to thank each and every one of you for the support and the confidence that you've put in us. And on a personal note, the one thing that I have to remind myself of when we get so caught up in all these things and what we're doing to change the building and change what we're used to seeing every day is this is not the church that Jesus spoke of. We're the church that Jesus spoke of. And I'm glad I'm a part of this church.
Thank you, Mitch. I'd like to say a special word of welcome to our guest. Thank you for being with us today. Whatever brought you to College Park, we're glad to have you, and we hope that you'll find this a warm and inviting place, but we hope most importantly you'll find this a place where you can worship today. Our ushers are going to head back up the aisles. If you have not received some information here from us before, if you would raise your hand just high enough so that they may see you. We've got a packet of information we would like to share with you about what's going on here at College Park. But most of all, thank you for being here today. We appreciate your presence. As we move into a time of worship, the 118th Psalm says it very simply and very well. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's turn our hearts and minds to God. Let's turn our hearts and minds to worship.
Our Lord and our God, we don't have voices enough to express, Lord, words enough to express. Lord, there is no way for us to share how great you truly are. And Lord, even more than that, you are beyond our comprehension. There's no way to even begin to understand how great you are. And yet we come this morning, Lord, in the knowledge that you are beyond our comprehension and our understanding. Lord, that you are great beyond what we can even know. And yet you want to know each and every one of us. Lord, that you have come to this place to be with us. And so this morning we welcome you here, Lord. We invite you to speak in our midst. Lord, to let your spirit sing through us. Lord, let the prayers be heard. And Lord, let our hearts and our eyes and our minds be opened to know you this morning and to leave here this morning going out serving you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
As we share together the ministry of God's Word through the reading of Scripture, we'll be reading first from the Old Testament in the 92nd Psalm. Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. From Psalm 92. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, how profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. And from the New Testament in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter of John, beginning at verse 9. John 15, beginning at verse 9. The words of Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, we come to you this morning as a people gathered in your name, a people gathered in this place because we seek more from life. We seek a relationship with you, and we're thankful for your role in our lives. Lord, we come to you in prayer as a people who need you, who need you daily for many things. We need help with our lives and the demands and the chaos that our lives many times include. But most of all, Lord, we just need you, period. We need to know you in a way that our lives are built around you instead of us just fitting you in where it's convenient and living our lives the way we want to live them, the way the world asks us to, and allowing you to be an afterthought. And Lord, even though we know that, and it's very easy to say, it's not easy to do. And we come to you this morning in prayer because we need you, and we need you to help us seek you in a way that will make all the difference in our lives. Lord, help us not to be distracted and thrown off course by the things that we're experiencing on a daily basis, even though those are difficult sometimes. There's certainly things that take our energy and our attention, and sometimes they even take our joy temporarily. But nothing can take our joy if our lives and our hearts and our minds are focused on you. Lord, today and this week, as we prepare to enter a new week that has things in store that we have no idea about right now, sitting here this morning, help us to have a renewed spirit in you. Help touch our minds and hearts in a way that transforms us, so that today we are a different person than we were yesterday, and that the rest of today and tomorrow and Tuesday and the rest of this week, that we will be transformed people who are living for you throughout our daily lives. Because we know that if we are living with you and we allow you to live in us the way that you want to live in us, that will make all the difference in the things of our lives, and the things of this week and of this world will be inconsequential, because you'll be in control. You'll be guiding us through them. And no matter whether it's stress, No matter whether it's the trouble of a friendship or relationship, no matter whether it's physical ailment, we can handle it with your help. Without you, we cannot. We will suffer and we will struggle. Lord, help us to turn to you this week because we need you. Help us to experience whatever you want us to experience. Help us to receive the message that you want us to receive. Receive the gift of your presence and your love and your grace upon our lives so that we may be who you created us to be. Not 2 weeks from now, not a month from now, but today. Lord, help us to receive it. Help us to open our hearts and minds to you. Thank you for all that you mean in our lives. Thank you for all that you do for us, in us, around us. And thank you for all that you're doing through those around us and in this church and other ways. Help our eyes to be open, Lord. Help our hearts and minds to be open to receive this gift today. Because we are a people who need you, Lord. And we are a people who humble ourselves this morning before you in worship and in prayer. Amen.
In the 92nd chapter of Psalms, the first five verses, it says, "It's good to praise the Lord, to make music in your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the works of your hand. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound are your thoughts." Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all the wonderful gifts and the things that you bring into our lives. Lord, we thank you for each person that's here and for those that are not. But Lord, we thank you for just remembering us and for the gift of your Son, Jesus, and for the days ahead. And Lord, we ask you to bless us in the times and to accept our offerings as a show of gladness and thank you for your love. Amen. Thank you.
When I was at Wake Forest, I had a whole semester on the book of Galatians. So I've got a lot of stuff to tell you this morning, so buckle up. Actually, we're just going to kind of take a short passage. It is the lectionary text for this morning. And it comes from Galatians chapter 5. And we'll read verse 1, and then we'll jump down to verse 13. And we'll talk a little bit more about why we do that in a few minutes. But if you have your Bible there, I invite you to join with me in reading from Galatians chapter 5. And again, we'll read verse 1, and then we'll kind of jump down to verse 13. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And now in verse 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. May God bless the reading and understanding of His Word. Several years ago, it was the trip that I took up to Virginia to get the youth from youth camp a couple years ago. And on the way up there, I saw this sign. You know how they are on the side of the road, church in front, and then there's a sign out next to the road. And a lot of times they'll put the sermon title on there, or they'll have a scripture passage, or a lot of times they'll just have kind of a devotional thought, something to make you think, kind of one-liner type deal. Well, as I'm driving up there, I saw this sign, and I showed it to the kids and Ward on the way back. I said, check this sign out. And the sign had the scripture passage for the coming Sunday. And the scripture passage was from the text that we've read. It was Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. And then underneath it, in quotes, was the title of the sermon that the pastor was going to preach that week. And the title was, Love Slaves. And I had to wonder at the time, I wonder how that will affect attendance. You know, because in some parts of the country, that would draw a crowd. In other parts of the country, they would boycott it because they didn't know what that was going to be. But I have to wonder sometimes where we come up with these titles. But Paul, in writing the letter that he's writing to the church, he sets up kind of an intriguing argument in this passage. He says, you've been set free so that you can be slaves to one another. In effect, be love slaves. All right? And it's a little confusing, perhaps, and yet Jesus Christ has set us free from being enslaved to ourselves. And in response, we're invited to a radical new kind of voluntary slavery. And that is to be slaves to one another, voluntarily, serve one another with joy. If you go back and look at verse 1, in most translations, verse 1 reads, the first part reads, for freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Now, one of my favorite scholars and commentators, F.F. Bruce, invited us to look at it a little bit differently. Because he translates verse 1, with freedom, Christ has set us free. Not for, but with freedom, Christ has set us free. There's another spin that the new translation, The Voice, which is from Thomas Nelson Publishers, and that translation is kind of like an Amplified Bible. You remember the old Amplified Bible? That's kind of how this translation is. It's very wordy, at least in my opinion, but it's good. It's good. And their translation of verse 1 says this, so stand strong for our freedom. The liberating King freed us, so we wouldn't spend one more day under the yoke of slavery. Don't let anyone get you turned around and trapped under the law. Like I say, a little wordy, but it gets the point across. But no matter how you read the passage, the point, at least in my mind, is pretty clear. Paul is saying, Jesus Christ has set us free. Now what? Now what? Well, Paul addresses it. He addresses this issue several times. And people tend to misunderstand the main point that he's trying to make. And that's not really surprising. Because given human nature, what we try to do when we hear something written down in terms of a command or an exhortation, what we typically try to do is find the loophole, don't we? We try to find the escape clause, okay? You know, that's good, but what if I... And we try to fill in that blank. And Paul has pointed out repeatedly that Christ sets us free. We know that. But does this mean that we can do then whatever we want? Does it mean that we can serve our own desires and follow our own agendas? Does it? No, of course not. Paul says no. At least if we want to remain true to the kind of freedom that Christ brings to us, we don't. We don't do that. You know, this is one of those weeks that, hey, I mentioned this is the lectionary passage. And a lot of times it's interesting to see as they wrote out the lectionary what they included in the reading and what they excluded in the reading. You'll remember we jumped over a bunch of verses. We skipped verses 2 through 12. It's kind of interesting to see, and I think probably with good reason in terms of focus of the lectionary, but on one hand, this passage 2 through 12 seems a little bit superfluous and unnecessary. And another reason I think that perhaps it was left out is because it speaks very frankly about circumcision. And that's not one of those things we like to talk about in church, right? I mean, you can read it in context of the Old Testament, and that was something they did. But we don't want to talk about it. But it clarifies Paul's argument. The argument he's trying to make in this letter. And it also sets up kind of an urgency with which he argues the rest of his point. Now, in much of Paul's writings, as you read letters, Paul was an incredibly passionate person. He was passionate about persecuting Christians when he thought they were wrong, right? I mean, he did it well. He did his job well when he was persecuting. But after he was converted, after he was blinded by the light and saw the light, literally, then he was equally passionate about wanting people to understand the nature of truth and who Jesus was and why he died for us. So he's very passionate. He writes with a sense of urgency. He writes with a sense sometimes of frustration and even with anger. If you read him, you know, you can sense, you can almost hear the anger in his voice. And I know Sunday school classes, what was today's word? Anger, yes. Some of the classes had anger. They were studying. So if you can kind of hear what Paul's writing with his angry eyes, okay? He's writing with angry eyes sometimes. And Galatians is no exception to that. There's times when he didn't understand. He was frustrated and a little bit angry with the people. And understand also that he is writing to people who were Gentiles. Okay? They don't come from a background of knowing Jewish law. They are Gentiles who've been converted to Christianity. And as such, you know, that they were susceptible to a lot of coercion that followed behind Paul. Now, here's how it worked. Paul would go into an area and he would evangelize. He would speak the gospel. People would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. He would help them organize into a church where they can meet together and worship together, study together. He would do all of that, and he would set that church and kind of really encourage them. But then he would move on and start a new work. And many times what would happen, this little group, and scholars kind of call them the Judaizers, this little group would kind of follow behind Paul, and after he left, they would slide into this congregation and say, well, you know, Paul did a good thing. I mean, he told you the gospel, and he told you about grace and Jesus, and that's good, but he failed to mention all this other stuff. And then they pull out all the laws and just lay all this stuff out, Levitical law and all this stuff, and they say, you've got to do this too. You know, grace is really not enough. You got to throw all this other stuff in to be good Christians. And if you throw in all that other stuff, then of course what happens is for the men, that involved circumcision. And Paul was furious. As he writes, he's furious about that. He wants people to know in clear, straightforward terms that, get this, the Jewish Christ calls us to a new form of covenant that does not require such things. Christ has set us free from all manner of things, not least of these subservience to laws that Paul considered to be archaic and inapplicable. So he's furious. Paul is furious, and he essentially suggests in verse 12, if you go back and read it, verse 12, in essence what he says is, okay, for those of you who are so insistent on circumcising the Galatians, you ought to go ahead and just cut yourself all the way. Ooh, wow. And his humorous point that he's making seems to be that, well, if cutting off part of you will make you more holy, then just imagine how holy you would be if you just finished the job. That's what he's saying. That's what, go back and read verse 12 in context. And this might seem irrelevant, except for the fact that it sets up the scene for Paul's frustration. He's saying to him, can't you see what's going on? Can't you see what they're doing to you? And he seems to be shouting, like I just was. He seems to be shouting at the Galatians and at us. Teenagers, if they were sending this in a text message, it would be in all caps, because they wanted to make sure people knew that they were upset and they were shouting. And Christ Jesus has set us free. Paul is saying it's an exciting, it's an extravagant freedom. Don't waste it. Use it. Use it to live a Christ-like life serving others. That's the point he's trying to make. His argument seems clear. And frankly, Paul can't understand why anyone would neither get it nor leap at the opportunity. He goes on to point out that the entire law is summed up in, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that life in the Spirit supersedes the law. Or to put it another way, it calls us to account under different laws, governed by God's love rather than by human obedience. And I am so glad. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I can live up to all this back here. I'm not sure I can. Paul contrasts spiritual living with living by the flesh. And understand, when he says living by the flesh, really kind of what he's saying is serving your own ideas, serving your own agenda. And in context of all of his writings, he just wants them to see the contrast between living by your own agenda, living by the flesh, versus living by the Spirit. Living by your own desires versus living by God's desire for you. He says, you can serve God, you can serve yourself. It's hard to do both. You really cannot do both. It's interesting when I go into Christian bookstores, a lot of times you see merchandise that's got verses and stuff on it, and that's good. That, you know, it's good to have those things. But a lot of times I'll see needlepoint or a sweatshirt or a t-shirt or a little cap or something like that that has listed the fruits of the Spirit. You've seen that, right? Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit are blah, 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 blah. And they list them off. And that's wonderful, I guess. But for me, I've always kind of cringed a little bit when I saw it, because having studied this particular book pretty extensively and seeing that, to me, it kind of cheapens the passage. If you understand the fullness of it, because you see, Paul is not, he's not offering an exhaustive list of all the bad points of living for ourselves versus the good points of living by God's Spirit. It's not an exhaustive list. If he had done that, if he had said, okay, here's all the stuff, here's all the fruits of the Spirit, then our human nature is to try, again, to get off the hook, to find the escape clause, to find the loophole. Let me give you an example. There was a situation that early missionaries to Hawaii had to encounter. They were trying to understand and outlaw all the common practices that we would normally refer to as adultery. Okay, and what was playing into their confusion and their difficulty was that Hawaiians had 23 different kinds of adultery as it was listed in their law, in Hawaiian law. And the fear of listing all of those out in a translation of the Bible was that a person might see that list in the Bible and go, oh, my kind isn't there, so I can keep on doing it. All right? And alternatively, you might look at a complete list and think, oh, there's one I haven't tried yet. You know? So ultimately, the Hawaiian Bible, they really didn't know how to handle all this. So what they did is they just said, do not sleep like a rascal. Well, that's at best a little unsatisfactory, but it shows the difficulty of that line of thinking where you have to list everything. Because in the same way, you could look at this list in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, and you could think to yourself, oh, well, I haven't got around to doing that one yet, and be misled. Or you could read the list and go, oh, that's a relief. My evil isn't there. so I think I'm safe. You see, but that's not the point. Paul is simply providing a hefty list of examples, if you will. Not an exhaustive one, just a list of examples. Similarly, the apostle creates a beautifully imposing list of some of the benefits, the fruits of the Spirit, some of the benefits to be realized when one seeks to follow God's Holy Spirit. So what Paul really wants to accomplish is to make the choice obvious. You can live like this. You can seek your best interest, your own best interest, and you will fall into a pit of increasing horror. Or you can seek the best interest as led by the Holy Spirit of your brothers and sisters and watch the benefits pile up. Understand, we don't do good things to others in order to reap a benefit. He's just saying it is the natural result. And as people set free in Christ, we should strive to live by the Spirit. We have been freed to love. And for Paul, it's a proverbial no-brainer. How about with you? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of today and the time that we've experienced in worship. Father, we know that as we come to your throne in worship, that we encounter your perfection. And we know that we're not. It's very obvious to us that we're not perfect. We're sinful by nature. And Father, as new creations in Christ, new creatures in Christ, we know that we've been set free from the nature of sin. But Father, we also know that sometimes we struggle with wanting to do our own thing. And we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your strength. We ask that you break our spirit so that we can be filled with yours. And that's a painful process. And when we pray that, Father, we need to be aware of what we're praying. Because we do want to serve you. But we also know the only way to do that is through the leadership and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we ask you now to wash away those things in us that are unclean. To touch us at our point of sin and our point of uncleanliness. To heal us and to cleanse our hearts and our minds and our bodies. So that we can live 100% for you. Father, we know that that will require a tremendous amount of trust, a tremendous amount of faith on our part if we've never done that before. But Father, we know that your grace is sufficient. Your power is unending and unmatched. And so we look forward to this week with excitement, seeing what you will do through us and to us as we seek to be more Christ-like. For it's in his precious name that we pray and ask these things. Amen. This morning I want to invite you, if you don't know the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for you, I want to give you an opportunity to receive him as your Lord and Savior. I'll be here at the front and invite you. I'll be glad to talk with you, share with you how you can come to know Christ. If you don't want to come down here this morning, that's okay. Just give me a call this week. I'll meet you somewhere. We'll talk about it. Kind of get that priority number one taken care of. Also here this morning, if you're here and you say, Raymond, you know, I know what you're saying because so many times I'm trying to run my own life. And it's frustrating. It's aggravating. And I want to do better. I want to live more in the Spirit. I want you to pray for me as I seek to live as God would want me to live in the Spirit. You can certainly, I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. The altar will be open here. You can come and pray. I think some of our prayer warriors may be coming down to pray. So you're welcome to come here and pray. Also, if you're here and you want to become a member of College Park, it's a wonderful congregation, engaged in the community and love and encourage one another. I'll be glad to share with you how we receive members. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together a new hymn, new song. It's in an insert in your bulletin, order of service today. And that is our invitation hymn this morning. I invite you to stand with me and sing that. thank you for being here in worship today. I hope it was meaningful for you. I miss seeing our kids here, don't you? You know, I guess that's kind of a visual reminder to us that they're on their way to youth camp and we need to pray for them. Will you do that? Pray for them, the leaders that are going with them. I don't know about you, but I can remember many a life-changing decision that was made at youth camp. And we put them in an environment where they can hear a little bit more concentrated, maybe the Word of God, and have time to live in that for a few days. So pray for them this week. Pray that lives will be changed, hearts will be changed. Pray for the leaders because they'll be exhausted by the time they come back. Pray that they would have grace under fire and all those things. Will you do that with me? Throw your head this way. I'll take that as a yes. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the blessings of today. Father, we thank you for the gift of life that you give us. We thank you for freedom in Christ that we have to live without the burden of knowing that we have to fulfill a checklist, but rather that we live in Christ. Father, we pray that as we go from this place, that you would walk with us, as your Spirit walks beside us, give us strength and hope and peace. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.